Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're doing the chapter on the virtue of a grateful, wealthy person. Person Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with wealth. Shukar guzar maldar. Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with wealth, and together with that wealth, this person is very grateful. And then we explained yesterday that grateful doesn't mean just eating a nice meal and making shukar for that meal, but it is very, very comprehensive in meaning. Every ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given him, whether it is something that is voluntary, or whether something that he has some type of input in, whether something that is involuntary, non-voluntary, a person was given eyes, he was given hands, he was given ears, he was given his body, he didn't have any volition in it. It was a great favor of Allah Ta'ala. So he's got all these ni'mat, and he uses it in a correct manner. That this, using it in a correct manner, according to the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, according to the teachings of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, now this is making shukr for those ni'mats and those limbs and that body that Allah Ta'ala has given him, the favors that Allah Ta'ala has given him. Then you'll get some that a person has some type of volition. He has some type of input. For example, the wealth that he's going to earn, the income that he's getting, etc. Now a person does and he takes from the right avenues. Therefore, under this chapter, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought, next to Babu Fadli Ghani Shakir, Babu Fadli Ghani Shakir, he brought, وَهُوَ مَنْ أَخَذَ الْمَالَ مِنْ وَجْهِ. That person who earns in the correct manner, and the second part we explained, وَصَرَفَهُ فِي وُجُوهِ الْمَأْمُورِ بِهَا. And this person now he spends in those avenues that he's supposed to be spending. Sometimes you'll find a person wasting his money, he's squandering his money, he's spending in unlawful avenues, those avenues that are not lawful at all. So that is a sign that the person in the first place went and earned it from the wrong avenues. Many times it happens, Allah Ta'ala makes it such, a person is earning from the wrong avenues, Allah Ta'ala makes it such that he spends, makes him spend that money in the wrong avenues. So making shukr for this also is a person is earning in the right and he's spending in the right avenues. Therefore you'll find that this ayat that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought, the ayat that is teaching us both about our way we earn our income and the way we spend our income, this also is making shukr for that wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given us. One is a person picks up his hand, he makes shukr to Allah Ta'ala. A person cries in dua, he makes shukr. While the person is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is making shukr. But when we're spending our money, are we making shukr to Allah ta'ala for that wealth that Allah ta'ala has given us by spending also in the correct avenues? So continuing with the ayat, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِن تُبْتُ الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِي وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, if you give charity openly, it is excellent indeed. But if you conceal it and convey it to the poor, it is better for you. Allah Ta'ala will forgive some of your sins. And Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of what you do. This ayat of the Quran is speaking about two things. That if you give charity openly, it is good. فَنِعِمَّا هِي وَإِن تُخْفُهَا. But if you conceal it and convey it to the poor in a concealed manner, then this is better for you. Allah Ta'ala will forgive some of your sins and Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of what you do. Ulama explained under this that when do you give charity openly and when do you conceal it and you give it. This is a mustaqil, a separate bahas explanation. But in a nutshell, that when some action is from the qabil of fara'id, when some action is from the category of faras, then to openly do it is better. Then to openly do it is better. Why? Not all the time, but sometimes, because it's a means of encouragement for others. For example, Salah. We came all to the masjid and we're openly reading our Fard Salah. We're not hiding from one another. Openly we're doing it. But we're doing it openly, what it does, it gives encouragement to the next person also. That let us go and read Salah. Someone is feeling shy to read Salah also, he'll also say, everyone is reading, let me read. Therefore you find our Kabir and our Buzruks, even when they go to the airport and it's time for Salah, they won't make it a point of going to the Jamaat Khana and reading Salah. In the airport, one place in the side, they'll put all the musallas down, they'll put the cloths down, and they'll read Salah openly. This is not something we feel shy for, this is part of our deen. And you'll be surprised that how many people in their heart, they want to read namaz, they're feeling a little bit shy, always by the departure gate now, there's no Jamaat Khana or anything there. They see other people reading namaz, they all join in. So it becomes in means of encouragement for others. This is something that is for us, we don't feel shy, azan is called out openly. People are seeing, they're also getting dawah towards Islam. How many people accepted Islam just by looking at the Salah? So therefore, when it's from the qabil of fara'is, then we do it openly, we don't feel shy. Like that, if a person is openly giving his faraz zakat, now it becomes a means of others also getting encouraged. Hey, I forgot to give my zakat. I should also give my zakat. So now this becomes a means of encouragement. So therefore, when it's of this nature, then there's no harm. Then you get those things that from the qabil of nawafil, those that are nafil, the optional. Ulama explained that if it's done, the nafil is done also for encouragement for others, then also it's good. Like sometimes we're reading our nafil salah after the fard salah in the masjid. So now there's no harm in doing that, because many people, they leave out the nawafil. So by us reading our nafil also in the masjid is an encouragement for others. If everyone is told, go home and read, how many people will miss the nafil namaz? So therefore that is also a means of encouragement, it's permissible. But as a general rule, nawafil and optional actions, it is better to conceal it from others. Don't show others what you're doing. However, if there is a reason to do it, like a means of encouragement, then there is no harm to encourage others. So therefore, this explanation makes it very easy for us to understand what this ayat is speaking about. That in tubtu sadaqati fa ni'immahi, if you give charity openly, then it is excellent indeed. But if you conceal it and convey to the poor, it is better for you. Allah Ta'ala will forgive some of your sins. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala says that you will never acquire righteousness until you spend of that which you love. And whatever good you spend, Allah Ta'ala is certainly aware of it. Surah Ali Imran, this is mentioned, when these ayats were revealed, that you will not reach the high levels of righteousness. This birr means that ala daraja, the highest levels of righteousness, you won't reach it until you spend of that which you love. Generally what happens to us is we use and we use, and when we're tired of using it, and now there's no more use for it, there's no place in the cupboard now, it's worn out, then at that time we want to give. But this spending is talking about something that is close to you at the time when it's close to you. When a man is earning and he's earning and he's still young and he's fit, and now he's got love for wealth, at that time when he's got love for that wealth, at that time when he's giving his wealth, now this is what brings about that birr. When he's got that desire also to collect and accumulate, at that time he's giving. Now one is when a person now is retired now, there's nothing left in him. In Urdu they say that the teeth are falling out also, there's no strength in the body. The person is just making tasbih in the masjid the whole day. Now to spend is a bit easier also. But when a man is young and he's got a family and he's got desires and ambitions to fly here and fly there and go for umrah and do this and go for holidays, at that time to spend now is very beloved. At that time when a person spends, it's more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a young man doing ibadat also is more beloved to Allah ta'ala, because he has more temptations for him. But despite the temptations, he's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this ayat was revealed, there was one sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu. So what he did was, he had one orchard. When we think of orchard, it's not one small garden, it's a massive plantation with thousands of date trees, and it had a very, very special location. It was very closely located. If to understand, in today's times, if you look at the way the Taiba side is, where the Hilton side is behind the Haram, as you're coming in, the main doors that are there, just before the main doors, at the area where the main doors are situated for the men to enter, his orchard was around that area there. And it had sweet water. In that time, water also, to get sweet water was difficult. You had to go and travel and pull water from the well. This water, this orchard was the name of it was Bayruha. It had beautiful water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would come there, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would drink the water, and he would like the water. So it had a very special location, and it was a very special orchard. But when these ayats were revealed, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ, that you will not reach the heights of piety until you spend of that which you love. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the most prized possession I have. This is the most valued asset I have. I'm giving it to you in the path of Allah. Use it as you wish. Imagine what love they had, what desire they had to follow on what they learned. It wasn't such that they just learned something and that was it. They wanted to put it in action immediately. So this was this great sahabi who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give us also the tawfiq. I was just reading one malfuz of Mawlana Tanvir rahmatullahi alayhi last night, so I thought I'll just share it. Mawlana Tanvir rahmatullahi alayhi said nicely that there are two things that cause distress in a person. There are two things that generally cause distress in the person. One is, a person doesn't have love for the person that is he's dealing with. Either this can mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or generally business or some dealings he got with someone. He doesn't have that level of love. So when that person puts him through some difficulty, it causes him distress. Otherwise, he gives an example. If a person had love, for example, his beloved, the person that he loves so much, and that person tells him, let's we stand in the sun and talk. For 2 hours he can stand in the sun and talk. It doesn't matter. The heat won't affect him because he got love for that person. But if he doesn't have love for the person, if that person puts him through any difficulty, it will cause him great distress. Therefore, the pious people, they got so much of love for Allah Ta'ala, they see everything coming from the side of Allah Ta'ala, that if they have to go through some difficulty because of that love makes them forget the difficulty that is coming. So one is lack of love, and the second thing he says is great expectations in people. When you have expectations in a person, then that person doesn't deliver upon your expectation, then that brings about great distress. This customer, I didn't expect him to do me down. That person, I didn't expect him to do this. This child of mine, or this brother of mine, or this sister of mine, or that friend of mine, I didn't expect that person to do this. It was never in the thought that came to my mind. So because of expectations in people, he says, when that expectation is not realized, then this brings great distress in every person. So therefore he says, put both things, your trust in Allah Ta'ala. Have love for Allah Ta'ala, and put your trust in Allah Ta'ala. You will never ever be in a situation, in a condition, where you will go through distress. Why? You understand everything is coming from Allah, and all your expectations are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.